Mayfield on first down, throws, end zone, touchdown! Abuka with his second of the game!
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Oh, boy. King Kenny Albert on the call yesterday on Fox. This was one of those where it's like I have to pick between my favorite children. On one hand, I spent all summer talking about how Emeka Egbuka was going to be an absolute stud for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Took him in tons of fantasy drafts, both best ball and season long. A lot of people, like I got messages from people yesterday, people took my advice and drafted Egbuka, and he was a monster, obviously, with two touchdowns. So I love that. I love that I was able to, at least for 1 week, and look, like he's obviously really good. People were able to profit off of that. And that's great. Also, I bet the Falcons yesterday, and yesterday, the Falcons were my favorite child. So my second favorite child won, unfortunately, because Tampa Bay ends up winning the game as a result of that awesome Egbuka touchdown, his second of two on an absolute laser from Baker Mayfield, like putting it where only Egbuka could get it, with not a lot of room at the back of the end zone, just a perfect pass from Baker Mayfield, who turned it on when it mattered the most. No pass rush at the end of the game from the Atlanta Falcons, and the Bucs are able to win in Atlanta 23-20 as they start, you know, a campaign for yet another NFC South championship with a huge road win at the team that is most likely to threaten them for that division title. And for the Falcons, this is a massive, massive missed opportunity. I thought, and I am biased towards this player, so I admit that. But I would encourage anyone to like actually disagree with what I'm about to say objectively. I thought Michael Penix Jr. rocked. I thought he kicked ass in this game. I thought he was awesome. And I thought he played his best at the end of the game when it mattered the most, and he had no healthy, good wide receivers once Drake London left this game. Because remember, Darnell Mooney didn't play in the game either. So it's basically like Drake London and Kyle Pitts, insert laughter, and Bijan Robinson. And that's the offense. Vita Vea ended up playing in the game for Tampa. And as a result, the Falcons could not run the ball at all with Bijan Robinson, which meant that the game fell on Penix's shoulders. And at the end, on the final drive, down 23-20, after a brilliant scramble for a touchdown to put the Falcons ahead prior to the Baker Mayfield to Egbuka touchdown to put the Bucs ahead, Penix is throwing lasers down the field to the likes of Casey Washington, a perfect pass to Casey Washington, and Antoine Winfield Jr. just times it right, kind of like Jalen Ramsey did to Garrett Wilson at the end of the Steelers-Jets game, and jars the ball loose, incomplete. And then, third down, just a perfect pass to Kadarrell Hodge, where if Kadarrell Hodge, think about this, he's a wide receiver in the NFL. Do you know what you have to do when you play wide receiver in the NFL and the quarterback throws you the ball? You look back for it. You identify where the ball is with your eyes. Kadarrell Hodge, for some reason, decided to A, slow down when he reached the end zone instead of speed up, which I think 99.9% of people would do, and B, not look for the ball. It bounces a couple yards in front of him, incomplete. If he does his job, or dare I say, if Drake London doesn't have to leave the game, that ball's going to Drake London, and it's a touchdown, and the Falcons take the lead. Michael Penix Jr. absolutely did his part, and the Falcons failed him. And Zach Robinson failed him. On that goal-to-go sequence where Penix eventually scored the touchdown where it looked like his knee might be down, the call on a sweep to Bijan Robinson, like the loose yards, what are you thinking? How brain-dead is that? absolutely brutal. And that's a tough one to swallow if you're Atlanta. You're Raheem Morris. Young Waku misses that kick, and he stunk last year, and they rolled the dice with him, and you rolled the snake eyes. Like, brutal start for the Atlanta Falcons to lose that game at home. And now on week two, Sunday Night Football, on the road at the Minnesota Vikings. We'll see how Minnesota performs tonight, but it feels like that's a game the Falcons needed to have, and they didn't get it. So for my Falcons NFC South stuff, I mean, they can still win it, but you would have preferred they won that game. And for the Bucks, I think you have to walk away from that game if you've got Bucks futures, if you like Tampa coming into the year, you have to feel awesome. Because 2 months from now, the Bucks are going to be way better, assuming health, than they are now. Tristan Wirfs is going to be back. You know, maybe the best left tackle in the league. Chris Godwin's going to be back, and then it's going to be Godwin, Evans, and Igbuka in three receiver sets. That's ridiculous. And I actually think the most important thing yesterday for Tampa, the best defensive player in the game yesterday was probably Vita Vea. But besides for Vita Vea, Hassan Reddick was a monster rushing the passer. And I said in the offseason, and other people did also, that the Bucs pass rush this year might hinge on whether Hassan Reddick can get back to the form that he's shown previously in his career. Obviously a lost year for him last year, wanting the more money, like lost season for him with the Jets. He looked like old Hassan Reddick last year. That's a great sign for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. And it's only one game, and we don't want to overreact too much. I don't know how you don't like the Bucs to win the NFC South yet again. And the betting market says that. I don't know how you make a case for another team in the division at this point, even the Falcons, who I loved coming into the year. You better you bet on this Monday. We'll talk about the Saints a little bit in the Power Hour. I actually thought they overperformed expectation. But before we talk about the Saints, we need to spend a minute on the Carolina Panthers. Shout out to Femi, who talked Tyler and myself, and he was way right on this. And like pretty much everybody survived in Survivor. But the point was let's save the Denver Broncos. We'll save the Philadelphia Eagles. And let's use Jacksonville. And Femi was way right. Even when the lightning delay happens yesterday, and we're all texting each other, is this going to screw us? The lightning, because Jacksonville looked great. Not only did it not, Jacksonville came out and maybe played better after the lightning delay. This game was never in doubt. And I love the Jaguars this year. I bet them to make the playoffs. I bet them to win the AFC South. And Houston loses in week one and Jacksonville wins, and I feel decent about that, right? To me, and I love the Jaguars this year again. I'm Mr. Jaguar. I'm Mr. BTJ. I'm Mr. Travis Hunter. I love the Jaguars. This was way more to me about Bryce Young and Carolina than it was about Jacksonville. Bryce Young, in yesterday's game, I want to be clear. I can be honest when I'm overreacting. I think I'm self-aware enough to know that I can be honest when I overreact. This is not an overreaction. Bryce Young can't play. For everybody that wanted to say at the end of the year last year, wow, like look at all these throws. You know, look at the receivers are dropping passes, they're letting him down. He's showing that he's a guy, a legit guy. You could have just as easily said, look at all the passes in harm's way that he threw that the other team dropped. Yesterday was alarming. If you're someone that likes the Panthers this year, bet the over win, and I like the under. And I think I said I thought they were going to be bad. Where's the optimism? Where is it for Bryce Young? A called back pick six on a horrible throw. He's like my height, except I'm talking into a microphone and he's playing quarterback in the NFL. Like, he has to reach up to get the ball over the line. Have you seen some of these replays? And, man, we've killed Derek Carr for years, all of us, for fourth down plays, right? When Derek Carr throws the ball away on fourth down. Where's that same energy for Bryce Young, who on a fourth and one throws the ball out of the end zone? Like, I can't believe what I'm watching. Like, Bryce Young at Alabama, like, rose to the occasion in the clutch. Like, Bryce Young was money in the big spots. And even if you wanted to say that Bryce Young physically couldn't hack it in the NFL, like, I don't think anyone expected, like, the mental lapses like that from Bryce Young. It's pathetic. It is. I have no axe to grind. I don't know him personally. I don't dislike him. I don't care. I'm just calling it like I see it. Are they the worst team in the league? Are the Panthers the worst team in the league? Betting market thinks they're absolutely terrible. Because coming up on Sunday, they are a 6.5-point dog. So this was 7 last night, so it's come off it a little bit. So a little bit of interest in Carolina at the number, plus the points on the road in Arizona. Femi and I will talk about that game and more. We'll give you our early preview of week 2 coming up next hour on the show. And just to, I know I said I'd do it in the Power Hour, but just to do it here, because I have a minute, just to complete the NFC South. You know, Kellen Moore, and I know Femi in his hour talked about this and then talked about it to start this hour. Kellen Moore absolutely butchered the end of the first half of Saints Cardinals from a time management perspective. Brutal. And he's got to get better with that. And maybe he will, and maybe he won't. I don't know how you don't watch that game and come away impressed with the Saints. And think that the Saints are, like, punching above their weight class right now. Spencer Rattler looked like a functional NFL quarterback. He looked like the worst quarterback that's ever played last year. It's amazing what a decent coach can do. And maybe he's a brutal game manager. We'll see. The Saints looked way better than I expected. After what we saw yesterday, and again, like, I don't think this is an overreaction. Would anyone be shocked if the Saints were better than the Panthers this year? I'm being serious. Like, I'm not saying this facetiously. Would anyone really be surprised by that? And I'll close this hour by saying, as someone who bet the Arizona Cardinals to make the playoffs and over win total and win the division, I'm very happy Juwan Johnson didn't make that catch on third down in the end zone. Final hour, Power Hour coming up next. All our bets for tonight, Bears-Vikings, a look at week 2, and we'll continue to break down what we saw yesterday, week 1 NFL Sunday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.